Matt, help me. Please. Help me. Matt, something is going to happen. Something terrible is going to happen. Help me. Matt, help me.
Susan? Oh, Christ. Christ.
Go Down in Darkness by Rod Beecham, with Steve Hodson as Matt, Frances Jeter as Maggie, and Glynis Brooks as Sue. Go Down in Darkness.
So that's two large whiskies, two G&Ts, Campari, a dry martini, and, Felix.
Yes, Jimmy.
What was bloody Fiona drinking?
It was wine, wasn't it?
Yeah, I know it was bloody wine, but was it bloody red wine or bloody white wine?
Well, white, I think. She's on some sort of diet.
Not before time.
Right, we'll start again.
Two large whiskies, two G&Ts.
Three large whiskies.
Good God, I don't believe it.
Hello, Jimmy.
What are you doing in this hotbed of intrigue? You don't usually make your annual pilgrimage until October.
I'm researching a book on corruption in the advertising world.
Oh, well, everyone's doing that. Do you know Felix Veer Davis?
Who?
Felix, come here. I want you to meet someone.
Yours to command, Emma.
This is Matthew Beresford.
How do you do?
He buries himself in the heart of Mummerset. Turns out one novel a year that nobody reads and feels madly superior to everybody.
Come on, Jamie, be fair. I am madly superior to everybody.
Actually, I read one of your books, I think. I quite liked it.
Well, there you are, Matthew. You've arrived. Felix quite liked it.
You must take care it doesn't become a habit.
Are you going to join us? We're all scattered somewhere over there in the corner.
Actually, Jamie, I just wanted a quick word with you, if you don't mind.
Ah, okay. Felix, take this round over, will you? Get her to put it on my slate.
Yes, of course, Damien.
Now, of course, I know what all this is about, you know. You've finally cracked. You want to sell your soul for a Maserati in a home sauna.
Ah.
And write golden verses extolling the virtues of cornflakes.
Well, what's your latest epic?
You've seen the Wonderskin one, have you?
The girl with the banana?
Yeah.
Is that one of yours? How do you get these things past the censor?
What did you think of the girl, incidentally?
Oh, amiable?
Yes. 5 days we were in Spain shooting that. 5 days. And, by night.
How is Jean, by the way?
Very well, thank you, you smug bastard. And so are the children, bless their little hearts. Tell me, did you just come here to parade your intellectual and moral purity, or is there some serious reason for your presence?
Do you remember Susan Penreath?
Susan Penreath. A rather anemic lady with big eyes you used to knock off at university. Whatever happened to her?
Well, that's rather what I'm wondering.
Yes, I do remember.
Oh, yes.
She walked out, didn't she? Halfway through her second year. Was there something to do with you?
I had a dream about her last night.
Really? A bit early for the male menopause, isn't it?
Not that sort of dream. Actually, it was really rather nasty.
Whatever you are about.
But the thing is, she had a cousin. She was at university too, Maggie. Maggie Standish.
Oh, yes, yes. She had a thing about you too, if I remember rightly.
Maggie? Mm-hmm. Good God, no. Well, I liked her. We hardly knew each other. The point is, one of your orgies a year or two back, I seem to remember you saying that you'd run into her in the line of work.
Yes, that's right. I met her at a couple of parties with a particularly charmless husband in tow.
Which publishers? Can you remember?
No, not offhand. Is it important?
I don't know. Yes. Yes, I think it is.
Well, doubtless a large scotch would help me refresh my memory.
Yes.
Tell me, Matthew, why do they never make films of any of your books?
Where to, mate?
German Street. A publisher's called Mackenzie's.
Oh, yeah, I know it.
She walked out halfway through her second year. Was that something to do with you? 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 Something to do
with you? Sue? Oh,
Sue, what are you doing?
It looked like... I thought you were asleep.
I was, yeah. Why are you getting dressed?
Isn't that what you like? For me to go as soon as possible afterwards.
Oh, what are you talking about? Oh, Sue, don't be ridiculous. Come back to bed.
I must go. I've got work to do.
It's Sunday. Nobody works on a Sunday. Oh. Uh-huh. Sue, come on, love. What's all this about?
Oh, don't. Huh? Don't touch me, please.
What the hell's the matter with you?
You say all sorts of things, don't you? While we're doing it, you'll say anything, but afterwards all you want to do is sleep. Can't you just lie there, fidgeting, itching for me to go?
Rubbish.
Is it?
Well, why do you keep coming back, then?
You know why.
Yes. Well, I feel the same way.
Oh, that was an effort, wasn't it? Don't even like me.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
You think I'm stupid and neurotic?
Yeah, well, I like neurotic women.
Oh, no, you don't. You fancy them, but you don't like them. Why don't you take up with Maggie?
Maggie? How the hell did she come into this?
A nice, normal, healthy girl for a nice, normal, healthy...
Sue, you're being absolutely bloody ridiculous. Oh, Sue, come on, love. Don't cry. Please.
I'm sorry. I know you hate it.
Don't be silly.
I can't help it. I love you so much.
It's all right.
But I'm so lonely, my...
It's all right. It's all right, love. Come on. Come back to bed.
No.
Come on. Just for a cuddle, hmm? Come on. Is that better?
Tighter. Tight as you can.
Any tighter and I'll break you.
I wouldn't mind. Oh, you are lucky, you know, Matt. God, you don't know how lucky you are.
How do you mean?
Your nice, normal life.
Oh, my nice, normal, boring life.
Yes. Nice, boring parents. Nice, boring friends. You don't know what it was like growing up in that great, awful house.
Sue.
Never allowed to have any friends because the village children weren't good enough to mix with the Penleys.
It's all over, love. Forget about
it. It's not all over. I have to go back there.
No, you don't. What if you don't want to?
I have to. Well, she'll make me.
You're 19, for God's sake. She can't make you do anything.
Oh, you don't understand.
No, I don't. Oh, come on, Sue. Whatever this legendary aunt of yours is like, she can't keep you a prisoner. Sue! Oh, come on. Has she let you come to university?
She didn't have any choice.
What?
My parents left money that had to be spent on educating me. Well, up to A-level, she could have private tutors, but when it came to university, she didn't have any choice.
Well, right, there you are, then.
She knows I'll go back anyway. When I'm 25, I'll have to go back.
What do you mean?
That doesn't matter.
Sue, what are you talking about?
Something terrible is going to happen when I'm 25. Oh. Don't look at me like that, please.
Like what?
Like you thought I was mad.
Of course I don't think you're mad. But why do you have to make such a drama out of everything?
I don't understand anything. I mean it, Matt. Something terrible is going to happen when I'm 25.
What? What's going to happen?
I can't tell you.
Oh, for God's sake.
It's all right. It's all right, I'm
going. No, don't go.
Why not?
I don't want you to.
Well, I want
to. No, you don't.
If I don't, Matt, please.
Sue. My God, you're fantastic.
I don't want to.
I'm crazy about you, Sue. Oh.
You're thinking of buying the building, or did you actually want to go inside?
For what?
Mackenzie's, we're there.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Darling Maggie. Yes, she was invaluable. An amazing ability to keep her head through crises, major and minor. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we miss her dreadfully.
Miss her?
Yes, she left us. Oh, well over a year now.
Oh, I see.
Just after her marriage broke up.
You've no idea where she is now?
Back in the Midlands somewhere. Gloucester, I think. Where she originally came from. Now, I tell you what. After they split up, I think her husband kept on their old flat, and he presumably will know where she is. The girl outside could give you her address. Or might that be a little awkward?
Not in the least awkward.
Not quite. Well, if you find her, do give her our best love.
Yes?
Mr. Simmons.
Yes?
Ah, so you don't know me.
I know you. You're Matthew Beresford.
That's right. I'm sorry, have we met?
We were at college together, as a matter of fact. What do you want? Don't tell me you're looking for Maggie.
Yes. Yes, I am.
That's been a bit late in the day, haven't you?
What? Look, all I want is her phone number. In fact, it's her cousin Sue I really want to get hold of.
Oh, now that is funny.
What is?
You wanted to get hold of Maggie just so you can get in touch with her cousin. That is really funny.
I'm glad to have brightened up your day.
Yeah. All right, then, I'll get you the number.
Maggie? Is that you?
Who is it?
It's Matt Beresford.
I can't believe it.
How are you?
I'm all right, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm okay. Look.
Where are you ringing from?
I'm in London. I got your number from your husband, actually. Look, Maggie, I know it seems a bit crazy after all these years, but it's terribly important that I get in touch with Sue. Maggie? I said, Maggie?
Yes. Yes, I heard you.
Ah, I thought we'd been cut off.
Why do you want to get in touch with Sue?
If I told you, you'd think I was crazy.
Tell me anyway.
I had this dream. Well, that's it, really.
What sort of dream?
A rather frightening one. You see, I told you it sounded crazy.
Matt, can you come up here?
What?
No, that's silly. Is it difficult? Are you terribly busy?
No, I'm not, but... What is it? Have you heard something?
If you can come up, I think it would be a good idea.
Sue! Hello, Maggie.
Hi.
Where's Sue?
Matt, she's gone.
But gone where?
Back to Cornwall. I'm just packing the rest of her things.
You mean she's just walked out? That's ridiculous. Oh, God. She saw me with Helen Craig.
She told me. I know it sounds like a terrible old movie, but she left you this note.
What?
What is it? Sorry, none of my business.
No. You don't love me, not properly, but you will one day. Oh!
Matthew, I probably shouldn't say this, but she's always been a bit strange, even when she was a kid.
Oh, it's the understatement of the century. Do you think she'll be all right?
I expect so. Whatever Sue's problems are, you didn't start them.
Just so long as I haven't made them worse.
Oh, now, don't you go all self-dramatizing.
Right. You're really nice, Maggie, you know that? A really nice, intelligent girl. Now, why don't I ever fall for girls like you?
Because really nice, intelligent girls like me don't look like they've been dreamed up by Burne Jones on a high.
Oh, I think you're probably too intelligent. Well, I'll be off then.
Give Helen my love.
What? Oh, here. See you around, I expect.
I expect. Oh, Matt.
Yes.
Do you want this note?
Oh, well.
Don't worry. I'll burn it.
Bud? Oh, yes. Yes, thank you. object lesson against trying to sleep on a moving train, eh?
Yeah, guilty conscience, is it?
What?
Them noises you were making.
Matt!
Hello there.
You rotten devil. You don't look a day older.
Neither do you.
Not much. Come in.
Thanks.
Well, you found it all right, then. That is a really idiotic remark, isn't it?
Pretty stupid.
Come through to the sitting room.
Thanks, Maggie.
No, it really is the sitting room. I can't remember the last time I was here. It really is ridiculous. Now, do you want a drink or something?
Oh, yes, please. The scotch, if you've got it. A little water.
Dave.
Yeah.
How are you?
Well, that's a bit hard for me to say, Maggie. I've never met him before.
You have, actually. One scotch.
Oh, thanks. Yes, that's what he said, but I have to be honest, I really didn't remember. And he didn't seem to like me very much.
Yes, well, I suppose that's partly my fault.
Why?
Oh, Dave wanted to be a writer, only he never really had it. Whatever that means.
Hmm.
I suppose, having known you at college and everything, I used to go on about you too much. About your books, I mean, and in the end, you became pretty much a symbol of the success you wasn't going to have. Well, Dave, well, that's quite enough about my sordid past. Tell me about this dream of yours. Matt?
Yes, I know it's stuff. Well, now I'm actually face to face with someone about it, I realise just how bloody silly it's going to sound.
Go on.
Well, just about the last time I saw Sue, before she vanished, she said something very odd. She said that when she was 25, something terrible was going to happen to her. I didn't really take her seriously. I thought it was a fairly typical piece of Sue self-dramatization. But the night before last, this dream.
Mm-hmm.
Where she is standing in front of me, staring at me with those great brown eyes of hers, and just repeating it over and over again, something terrible is going to happen, something terrible is going to happen. The point is, Maggie, I never dream, or if I do, they're so innocuous. I never remember them, but this was so vivid. When I woke up, I could hardly believe that she wasn't in the room with me. Yeah, I did say it was crazy.
Mm. No, it's not crazy, but, I mean, well, it's a fairly logical explanation, isn't there?
Hmm?
Sue was 25 this year, and you must have known that. Her birthday's 2 months after mine. That remark of hers must have made a deeper impression on you than you thought, and when the time was ripe, up it popped from your subconscious.
I haven't thought about Sue in years.
Oh, come on. What about the girl in sunlight on a broken column?
Oh, that's not Sue. Oh, a bit, I suppose, a bit. No, she's an amalgam of various hyperthyroid ladies who used to obsess me. Before I realised that what I really wanted was nice, intelligent, sexy girls I could enjoy talking to afterwards. Oh, yes, obviously, she's crossed my mind over the years, but never for more than 5 minutes at a stretch, and I certainly didn't take that remark seriously, not even at the time. Oh, still, I suppose you might be right. Any other explanation? Straight out of a Hammer film, isn't it? Well, that's what you mean, huh?
Well, I would say that, only, I got this letter.
Hmm? And Sue?
Yeah.
Are you keeping in touch, then?
No, that's why it's so odd. I haven't seen or heard from her since the day she walked out of college. Should I ever read it?
Dear Maggie, I expect you'll be amazed to hear from me after all these years, especially as we were never really friends. I'm so frightened, and I don't know anyone else who can help me. Could you please come down and stay the week of the 15th? I know it sounds strange, but I'll explain everything when you get here. Please, P.
Please come. I'm desperate. That's all a bit bloody weird, isn't it, Maggie?
Yeah, a bit.
What's she frightened of? Have you any idea?
I told you, I haven't seen her in 6 years. I had better go, hadn't I?
We'll both go. Right now.
What?
I'll go down by train tonight. You come when you can.
Well, how will you explain pitching up on the doorstep?
I don't know. Yes, I'll say I'm researching a pastoral novel.
All right, Matt. We'll go now. How did you track me as far as Dave?
I saw Jamie. He remembered where he used to work.
Oh, Jamie Prynne. How is he?
As smooth and suntanned as ever.
I like Jamie.
Oh, so do I. Because he's so blatantly corrupt, it's a form of honesty. Actually, he said something rather funny. He said you used to have a thing about me when we were at university.
Oh, I did, as a matter of fact.
Have you ever seen this house of Sue's?
I stayed there once for a week.
When was that?
When I was about 12. I think the idea was to try and bring Sue out of her shell and give me a holiday by the sea at the same time.
Uh-huh.
It was all a rather desperate failure. She was so demanding.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you know all about that. At that age, I just couldn't cope. So, in the end, she just sort of froze up on me. And then there's the house. I mean, it's your classic 17th century clifftop manor. It ought to be lovely, but...
What?
Well, there's no real money, you see, except what Sue's parents left in trust for her. So most of it's just shut off. Well, not shut off, just unused. All the rooms are full of dust and shadows, and the garden's overgrown and... well, sad, really. But not melancholy sad, even. Dismal sad. All in all, I couldn't wait to get away.
How did you make out with the dreaded Aunt Ellen?
Of course, at that age, she scared the hell out of me. Though looking back, I think she was trying to be kind, but... no, it was her relationship with Sue that was so odd.
Mm-hmm. How odd?
Well, as long as Sue stayed in line, she could have anything she wanted. In some ways, I've never seen a kid so spoiled.
Yeah.
If she crossed her or tried to stand up to her in any way, it was frightening. I remember once, just before I left, going into a room I thought was empty. Aunt Ellen was standing at the window with the strangest expression on her face, staring into the garden. I tiptoed out and went to see what she was looking at.
And?
Sue was walking round and round the sundial in the middle of the lawn. She had a flower in her hand and was pulling the petals off one by one and humming to herself.
What was so strange about Aunt Ellen's expression?
I don't know. It was partly an almost... greedy affection. And partly something else.
But what? What?
I just don't know. I've never seen an expression like it. Before or since. That was the village, that was.
Is that all there is to it?
A dozen cottages, a pub and a church.
Wow.
Shouldn't think it's changed in 300 years.
Yeah, it's all pretty striking, isn't it? The rocks, the sea.
Oh, it's all right for a day or two. After a while, all that rugged grandeur gets on your nerves a bit. It's uphill all the way now.
You have to go inland to get to the house, do you?
By road, yeah. Oh, there's a path all the way up the village along the cliff edge. It's pretty hairy near the top. Hey, have you given any thought to what we're going to say?
I was afraid you were going to ask that. I don't know. I mean, you've been invited, after all. Yes, you knew I was coming this way, offered me a lift.
Actually, I think we are both round the bend. Don't you think so?
I don't know. Suddenly I'm very confused. I mean, what I said was true. I haven't thought about Sue in years. Except, possibly, as literary fodder or an incident in my own maturing process. It's only now, when we've been talking about her, that I've ever really thought of her as a person in her own life.
Oh, what's this? Delayed guilt?
If you like. I mean, when you get right down to it, I did just use...
Oh, come on, Matt. We were young. The young do just use each other and hurt each other. Bloody unfair, really, isn't it? It's always the people who most need love who can't get it. Because they're so hungry for it, they frighten people off.
Right.
First me, then you. Awesome.
Right.
It is depressing.
Makes it worse, doesn't it? Because you can see how lovely it could be.
It's great for a horror movie. Hell of a place to grow up in.
Well, I suppose we can't put off the evil eye any longer.
Hmm. Does Sue own this? I've never really understood.
No, it's all very complicated. Ellen was married to Sue's uncle. And when he died, he left Ellen the house, but hardly any money.
Mm-hmm.
No, Sue's parents had the money. Well, some, anyway. And they left part of it in trust for Sue's education, and
yeah,
a few thousand a year to Ellen, on condition that Sue could live in the house for as long as she wanted, and that the house would come to Sue when Ellen died.
Hmm. But if Sue leaves, voluntarily, does Ellen still get the money?
Oh, I've honestly no idea. Well, here we are. Oh, God, it's quiet.
You'd think they'd have heard us driving.
I suppose they are here.
Only one way to find out. My God, they have to be dead not to hear that.
Oh, I really wish you hadn't said that, Matt.
Someone's coming.
Yes? What do you want?
Aunt Ellen. Oh, you don't remember me. I'm Maggie, Sue's cousin, 19 times removed.
I remember you very well. What is it you want?
Well, we rather wanted to see Sue.
I'm afraid that's out of the question.
What?
Susan is not at all well.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is it serious?
Quite serious enough. Is this your husband?
No, no, no. This is Matt Beresford. He's an old friend of Sue's from university. Yes. He came down with me.
I'm sorry you had a wasted journey.
Look, couldn't we just see her for a moment?
It's out of the question.
How long has she been ill?
I beg your pardon?
I wondered how long Susan had been ill.
For several months now.
Oh, but she wrote to me only last week.
Wrote to you?
Yes, asking me to come and stay.
What nonsense.
Look, there's a simple way of clearing this up. If we could just see Sue for a couple of seconds.
Mr. Beresford, I dislike having to repeat myself. I thought I'd made it perfectly plain that Susan cannot see you even for a matter of seconds. I'm sorry.
What exactly is wrong with her?
You seem determined to embarrass me, Mr. Beresford. There's nothing physically wrong with Susan, but she's always been extremely highly strung. And for the last few months, she's been hovering on the brink of a nervous breakdown. She requires complete...
Maggie, is that you? Oh, Maggie, I'm so glad that you could...
Huh? Hello, Sue.
Susan, you were told to stay in your room.
Oh, Maggie, is it really you?
How are you? Your aunt says you've been ill.
Oh, rubbish. Oh, what rubbish. I'm never ill. You know that. Well, can you ever remember me being ill?
Oh, no, I...
Susan! Margaret claims that you wrote to her asking her to come and stay with us.
Yes, that's right, I did.
Well, it's a pity you didn't see fit to discuss it with me first. I could have told you...
Oh, but I did, Aunt Ellen. Well, don't you remember? I'd never have done a thing like that without consulting you first.
Susan!
Anyway, it doesn't matter, does it? We've plenty of room.
Rooms that haven't been aired, let alone slept in for years. There's no food in the house, there's no servants.
Oh, actually, Maggie and I can rob along without servants, at a pinch.
I wasn't aware that you had been included in my niece's invitation, Mr. Beresford.
Listen, Sue, it is not convenient for us to stay here. And Maggie and I were planning a little motoring tour of the West Country. Why don't you come with us for a few days?
Come with
you? Mr. Beresford, are you going out of your way to upset me? I've explained again and again that Susan is ill.
All right. Let's ask the doctor.
Doctor?
Well, if she's ill, presumably she's been seeing a doctor. Let's phone him and see if he thinks a change would be good for her.
I'm sorry. I'm very sorry, Margaret. You must forgive me. I've been unpardonably rude. It's just that we're not used to... Sometimes we don't see people of our own sort from one year's end to the next. And I'm so anxious for Sue not to be upset.
Yeah, I quite understand, Aunt Ellen.
Of course, if you and your friend would like to stay the night and put up with whatever discomfort that entails, of course, you're more than welcome.
Come in.
Matt? Oh, my God, your room's even more of a barn than mine.
Hmm. Actually, I was thinking of subletting part of it.
Well, what did you make of that little scene downstairs?
Oh, I thought Aunt Ellen more than lived up to her pre-publicity.
Mm, you were brilliant. Especially that bit about the doctor. I've never seen anyone do an about-turn so fast. Obviously, Sue's been nowhere near a doctor.
Yeah, maybe we should get hold of one.
What?
Well, she does look ill, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Feverish almost. As far as her nervous breakdown goes, Aunt Ellen's probably not all that far from the truth.
Mm, yes, I noticed she brought out your protective instincts.
Well, that's why we're here, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose so. But honestly, Matt, I know the whole setup's like something out of Tennessee Williams, but don't you think that's all there is to it, too? Naturally weird ladies made even weirder by living in this bloody house for years on end.
Sue said she was frightened.
Yes, but frightened of what? Oh, come on. We'd better go down to dinner before we get completely paranoid. Actually, there's something I want to show you on the way down.
What?
It's something that used to fascinate me when I was a kid. If it's still there. It's not far now.
I think we should have left a trail of breadcrumbs.
The only trouble is it's so dark you probably wouldn't be able to see anyway.
Yeah, it's hard to resist the idea that if we opened any one of these doors, we'd find a corpse with pennies on its eyes.
Would you like to save your vivid imagery for your books? Yeah. No, here we are. Yes, they're still there.
Where?
Up on the wall. Now look at the one on the left.
Good
Lord. Isn't it like Sue?
It's incredible.
Even when she was 12, it was quite uncanny.
Who was she, do you know?
Oh, it's just some distant ancestor. Actually, there's some sort of plaque underneath, but it's hard enough to make out even when the light's good.
Well, hang on a minute.
Don't set the place on fire, for God's sake.
Elizabeth Penrith, 1655, 1680.
A very distant ancestor.
Exit Tennessee Williams, enter Edgar Allan Poe.
What?
She died when she was 25.
Oh, Matt, for heaven's sake. What about the other two?
Mary Penrith, 1750, 1827.
Well, she made old bones pretty successfully.
Now, shift yourself, I'm going to burn my fingers. Anne Penrith, 1834, 1919.
And she did even better. Mm. So much for the family curse.
Yeah. Why are these portraits together?
Eh?
Well, there aren't any portraits anywhere else inside. Why just these three women who lived nearly a century apart?
I have absolutely no idea. Oh, come on, Matt. Don't make something of it. I just wanted you to see the resemblance.
I'm sorry we have to make do with cold, but we really were not prepared for company.
It's absolutely delicious, Aunt Helen.
How nice of you to say so much. Mr. Beresford, Susan tells me you're a writer.
That's right.
What sort of things do you write about?
Oh, it's rather hard to say in a word. Love, I suppose.
Love?
Yes. All the various conflicting emotions that people tend to lump together under that one rather indiscriminate word.
How interesting. This is for what? The women's magazine?
Matt is regarded as one of the country's most promising young novelists.
Really? Well, how odd, I've not heard of him before.
Well, his success has been more with the critics than with the general public.
Ah, I see. The chosen few.
Am I in your books, Matt?
Well, yes, in a way.
Matt and I were lovers, Aunt Helen, when we were at university.
Were you?
Oh, I'm sure I told you about him.
I expect you mentioned some adolescent flirtation.
Oh, I behaved very badly, didn't I, Matt? I walked out on him. Were you very upset?
Well, at first, of course.
Was he upset, Maggie? I expect so. I didn't really know him very well in those days.
So, you regard yourself as an expert on love, Mr. Beresford?
No. I don't claim to be an expert.
I'm sorry, since you take it on yourself to write about the subject, I assume you must have some knowledge denied the rest of us.
Well, I would have thought that it was the one subject where everybody was something of an expert. I mean, we've all been in love, or thought we'd been in love. And even today, I should imagine it's the one thing that most people are really looking for.
Surely not.
You don't think so?
Surely the world is full of people managing perfectly well.
The world is certainly full of people living without love. Certainly. Whether they're managing or not is a matter of definition.
Well, surely there are other things that people pursue with every bit as much ambition.
Such as what?
Money, fame, power.
Ah, yes. Power. The perfect example. I mean, there can hardly be a more futile activity than the pursuit of power for its own sake. And it's common knowledge that the people who spend their whole lives running after power are either afraid of love or incapable of love or both.
Yes, but perhaps if you have enough power, I mean real power, well, you can have anything you want. Even love.
No. Now, love is the one thing that no amount of power can give you.
What do you think, Aunt Ellen?
Susan, you look tired.
Oh, no,
you're
but
very pale. I think the excitement of having your friends here has been a little too much for
but
you.
Aunt
you can talk to them again in the morning when you've had a good long rest. You'll excuse her, won't you, Margaret?
Of course you'll excuse her. If she wants to go to bed.
Susan?
I think perhaps I am a bit tired, if you don't mind.
No, of course not. I'll see you upstairs. Look, don't argue with me, Susan.
Good night, Matt. I'll see you in the morning.
Good night, Sue.
Night, Sue. Maggie, good night. It's lovely to see you again. We used to be such good friends, didn't we?
We tend to keep rather early hours in this house. I shall go to bed myself when I've taken care of Susan. You must, of course, feel free to retire whenever you choose.
Oh, thank you.
Good night.
Jesus Christ! Poisonous bloody woman! Why agree to a thing if she's going to behave like that?
Well, actually, she's being very clever. She won't throw us out. No, that might make us suspicious, but at the same time, she's going to be as offensive as possible to make sure that we don't stay a moment longer than necessary.
Matt, what is going on? I mean, you were right about Sue, though. She's in a hell of a state. Yeah. All that about her walking out on you and she and I being such good buddies. I'll tell you one thing. You may have forgotten about Sue, but she still feels exactly the same way about
you.
No,
what makes you think?
Don't pretend you didn't see her looking at you.
Who is it? Maggie, is that... Sue?
Hello, Matt.
What time is it?
Everybody's asleep. No, don't put the light on.
I'm not. I just want a cigarette.
You always used to do that when you were nervous.
Look, sir, I don't think this is a terribly good idea. Supposing your aunt comes in.
She won't. Matt?
Don't, Sue.
Oh, well, it'll be different. Before we were like children, we didn't really know what we were doing.
Sue.
Oh, don't pretend you don't want me. I saw you at dinner. Remembering?
Sue, listen, please. Oh, God. All right. Yes, if you want the truth, I do want you. I doubt if I'll ever be able to sit in the same room as you and not want you. But I don't love you. I never loved you, Sue.
So it's going to happen, then?
What?
It doesn't matter.
What? Well, what's going to happen?
It doesn't matter.
Sue, no, wait. What are you talking about? What's going to happen?
That's hurt.
Sue, for God's sake. Just because I don't feel about you the way you want me to doesn't mean I don't want to help you.
But you can't. You could have done if you loved me, but now you can't.
Sue, you said in your letter to Maggie you were frightened. Frightened of what?
I never wrote to Maggie. You heard Aunt Helen.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
I always used to make you angry.
Sue, can't you see Maggie and I, we just want to help you.
Maggie doesn't want to help me. Maggie hates
you. Oh, don't be absurd.
It doesn't matter anyway. Really, Matt. Well, there's nothing you could have done. It was always going to happen. But... Matt, I'm so afraid.
Sue, what of?
Hold me, Matt.
No, Sue.
Please. Please hold me, Matt. Tightly like you used to.
Sue, don't.
Please, Matt. Please. Please.
Morning, Margaret. Oh! I'm sorry, did I startle you?
I didn't think there was anyone else about.
I was doing a little work in the garden.
Oh, I thought I'd just make myself a coffee.
I do hope you don't mind.
Not at all. I'm glad you felt free to help yourself.
Can I make one for you?
Thank you, no.
I banged on Matt's door, but he seemed to be dead to the world.
Is he usually such a heavy sleeper?
I have really no idea, Aunt Ellen.
I'm sorry if I seem rude, but I still find it a little difficult to grasp the precise nature of your relationship with Mr. Beresford.
I'll tell him that I don't want to be rude either, but I'm not exactly certain how my relationship with Matt is any concern of yours.
Forgive me, but I was genuinely distressed to hear of the failure of your marriage, Margaret. I'd be even more distressed to see you entertain an unsuitable relationship in an attempt at compensation.
An unsuitable... Aunt Helen, you hardly even know Matt.
Don't I? Last night, you heard Susan's sad little attempt at redefining the way their relationship ended. Do you really think I don't know the truth? He simply ditched her.
He didn't ditch her.
No?
Not in the way that you're... Look, Aunt Helen, we were so young...
And we must forgive the young everything, especially the sheer unthinking cruelty in which they seem to specialize.
He isn't cruel. That's the last thing he is.
Weak, then.
Not even weak. Not as I understand the word.
Margaret, you, better than anyone except myself, know what Susan was like as a child. Withdrawn, solitary, totally unable to function in the real world. But as the years went by, as she grew older, there was a definite improvement. So much so that with some misgiving I agreed to her attending the university. And even there, for a while, things went well, better than I dared to hope. She improved with every day that passed. Until she met your Beresford. When she came back here after, she had regressed totally. Had almost become a child again, not only incapable of dealing with reality, incapable even of accepting it. And that is the way she has been ever since.
But now you're saying she's ill.
Not ill, exactly, but from time to time, she gets herself into a highly nervous state, bordering on hysteria. There's nothing to be done about it, except to see that she gets complete rest and quiet until it passes.
Doesn't she see a doctor?
Of course. But what can he do except prescribe tranquilizers and, above all, insist that she is kept free from stress of any kind? Now, do you see why I want you and that man out of this house? You may be right. Perhaps I am being too harsh on him, but surely you must see that the last thing, the worst possible thing that could happen to her at a time like this, is for him to come into her life again.
I expect you're right. Perhaps we had better go.
I really think it would be for the best.
So this is where everybody is.
Good morning, Mr. Beresford.
Hello, Matt.
I hope you slept well.
Yes. Thank you. Is Susan not down yet?
Not yet. She seldom rises before mid-morning in any circumstances, but I'm afraid that last night's exertions were far too much for her.
What?
The excitement of seeing you both. I must apologize. Lack of experience is no excuse for lack of hospitality. Let me get you both some breakfast.
No, thanks. I never have breakfast.
Oh, surely you'll need a good meal inside you if you're going to spend the day travelling.
Are we going to spend the day travelling?
Well, I told Aunt Helen that we would be leaving soon.
Oh, yes.
Margaret understands that it's the best thing. For Susan, I mean. I'm sure you agree, Mr. Benson.
Yes, all right. Just as soon as we've said goodbye to Sue.
She may not be down for several hours.
Well, that's all right. We don't mind waiting. You're surely not going to object to our staying to say goodbye.
Of course not, if you insist. I simply feel you might get rather bored waiting about with nothing to do.
I will think of something.
We could go and see the church.
The church?
Yes. The little Norman church in the village. You'll love it, Matt.
Why should you want to go there?
I'm telling you, it's beautiful. Oh, this is the worst bit. It's because the trees come so near to the edge. Lower down the path turns inland a bit.
I wouldn't fancy trying this on a dark night.
Shouldn't think anybody ever does. Path stops at the house, so the villagers hardly ever use it.
I can't imagine Aunt Helen encouraging the neighbours to drop in.
Oh, phew.
You still haven't told me what she said to you to make you so anxious to leave.
Well, you must know. She blames you for Sue's condition.
Me?
The way you... Oh, you know.
No.
The way you and she breaks up. I think the longer you stay around, the worse you will get.
Oh, very clever, yeah.
Marsh.
Yes.
I know. I know it's not a very nice thing for you to have to believe, but that doesn't stop it being true.
So you're convinced that there's nothing wrong with Sue that can't be cured with a steady diet of Valium sandwiches, huh?
Why are you so convinced of the opposite?
Well, but for one thing, your Aunt Helen gave in too easily about us seeing Sue before we go. If she'd really been worried about us upsetting her, she'd have made much more of a fuss. She doesn't give a damn how upset Sue gets, as long as it gets us out of the house quicker.
Perhaps you're right.
Well,
There you are. Doesn't this put everything in perspective?
It certainly is peaceful, isn't it?
They've let it all go to seed, rather, haven't they?
Oh, that's part of its charm.
I notice you don't say that about the house.
Oh, that's different. I told you. Melancholia's enjoyable. Depression's... depressing.
Yes.
Anyway, this is the old part. The new graves around the front. They're beautifully looked after.
Maggie?
Hmm? Oh!
What's the matter?
I stung myself. Perhaps you're right. Stinging nettles on the grave mounds is going a bit far.
Allergy in a country churchyard?
Oh, your jokes are really awful, Matt. Anyone ever tell you that?
Sorry. Maggie, there is something I ought to tell
you. How funny. Matt, come here.
What?
Look. Elizabeth Penreath. 3rd of April, 1655 to May the 14th, 1680. That's the woman in the picture, the one that looks like Sue.
Well, she has to be buried somewhere.
Yeah, but look, Matt. Three portraits, three graves, all tucked away together in a corner.
Do you think...
Let's have a look. No, wrong.
What?
Well, the second woman was called Mary, wasn't she? And she lived to a ripe old age. This one only...
Only what?
25.
Let me see. Violet Penreath, born March 22nd, 1755.
Died 14th of May, 1780. That's impossible.
100 years later to the very day.
Are you going to look, or am I?
Louise Penreath, born January the 12th, 1855, died 14th of May, 1880.
I don't believe it.
You don't believe what?
Whatever you're thinking, I don't believe it.
Tomorrow?
I know what day it is tomorrow. It's a coincidence, that's all.
Is it?
Oh.
Extraordinary how rationality reaches a point where it becomes its own kind of superstition. Well, forgive me, I didn't mean to startle
you. Well, you bloody well did.
No.
Oh, sorry.
In spite of the ribald undertones the word has acquired with the passing years, Vicar is still the correct mode of address.
Oh.
And it's I who must apologize. I had no intention of approaching surreptitiously, but you were so engrossed, I merely wondered if I could be of some assistance.
We were just looking around.
I saw you coming down the cliff. Have you been visiting the Penreaths?
No, we're staying there, actually. Well, we were.
Well, how very unusual. In the entire 8 years of my incumbency, no one but the occasional tradesman has ever managed to set foot over that threshold. My own duty visits have been discouraged with impeccably frigid courtesy. My name is Franklin, by the way. John Franklin, for my sins, spiritual leader of this parish.
I'm Matthew Beresford, and this is Maggie Standish.
Hello.
And you are both friends of the Penreaths.
Of Sue's. We were at university together.
Well, I'm glad to know that Susan has friends.
What was that you were saying earlier about rationality?
I was merely remarking, a little discourteously perhaps, that if I came across, side by side, the graves of three young women of the same age, each of whom had died precisely 100 years after the other, to the very day, and if I were then to attempt to dismiss this event as mere coincidence, then intellectual honesty would force me to suspect myself of attempting to emulate the ostrich.
So, well, what is the explanation?
You say you're staying with the Penreaths.
Oh, we were. We're probably leaving this afternoon.
It wouldn't be possible to prolong your visit for another day or two.
Well, we might, but why?
I live in a small cottage at the other end of the village. Anyone will tell you where it is.
What do you...
Well, whether you go or stay, I'd be grateful if you could call on me this afternoon. Let's say about 3 o'clock, shall we? I should, of course, be delighted to offer you refreshments.
That's really very kind of you.
And satisfy your curiosity regarding these graves, as well as any other questions you may care to ask.
Yes, Vicar.
3 o'clock, then. I shall look forward to it.
What an extraordinary man.
Extraordinary under any circumstances. What's he doing stuck in a place like this?
Oh, perhaps he has a guilty secret.
I don't know about guilty, but he's certainly secretive. Now, why the hell couldn't he have told us about those graves straight off? Hang on a minute.
God, you're in terrible condition. I thought you were supposed to be the healthy rustic.
One of the many virtues of Norfolk is its notorious flatness.
Come on, once we're round this corner. Matt.
What?
Don't say anything, just come here quickly.
What is it? Oh, God.
Matt. I don't think she's going to jump.
Why should she?
You look at her face. The match is so near the edge, one gust of wind could take her over.
Don't say anything. Just keep walking naturally.
Hello, you two.
Hello.
Where have you been?
We just went down to look at the church. We thought you were in bed.
Isn't it a bit dangerous, so near the edge?
Oh, no. I come here every day. Quite safe.
Doesn't look very safe.
It is. Really, it's as solid as anything.
Oh, I still feel a lot happier if you'd moved away a little bit.
All right, Matt. That's what you want.
There. You shouldn't worry about me so much, Matt.
Well, I just
thought you... How are you today, Maggie? Did you have a good night?
Yes, it was
great. So did I. I had a wonderful night.
I see.
Aunt Ellen says you're going this afternoon.
That was the plan, yeah.
I wish you wouldn't.
I'm sure you do.
Maggie, would you mind? There's something I want to say to Matt. You wouldn't mind, would you?
I'll go and pack.
I'll only keep him a minute.
Keep him as long as you like.
Maggie!
I haven't upset her, have I?
You certainly had a bloody good try.
But last night was wonderful, wasn't it, Matt? Better than
Look, Sue, last night... It was my fault. I shouldn't have let it happen. And it's not going to happen again.
Why? Because of Maggie?
It's got nothing to do with Maggie. Look, Sue, I'm going to ask you for the last time. Will you tell me what it is you're frightened of? Otherwise,
you'll think it's the silly little neurotic dramatizing herself again. Oh, Matt, I'm sorry, but I can't tell you.
Well, then, I can't help you.
But you'll stay, won't you? Just till after tomorrow. Please say you'll stay.
Why? Well, what's going to happen tomorrow? There's something to do with those portraits, hasn't it? And the graves down in the churchyard. Sue!
Matt, I can't!
All right, then. I'm going back to the house.
Matt?
Yes?
If I had fallen just now, if I had gone over the edge, well, what do you think would have happened?
What are you talking about? I should think it's bloody obvious what would have happened.
No, but I've read that sometimes people's hearts just stop. That they die of fright before they hit the ground. Well, do you think that's what happens, Matt? That your heart just stops? You die in midair?
I suppose it's possible, yes, but I don't think I'd bank on it. Sue...
Go on, you go back to the house. I'll come in a minute.
No, I'll wait
for you. Go on, Matt. It's all right. Nothing's going to happen. Not now. Matt.
Maggie, I wanted to talk... This isn't your room.
Shut up and come inside, quickly.
Whose room is it?
Aunt Ellen's. Well, you didn't see her as you came in.
I passed her in the hall. She was going to the kitchen.
Good. Look, I thought I'd take a quick sniff round when I had the chance.
What did you find it?
Well, I found these.
Oh, my books.
Mm-hmm.
So she was lying about that for a start.
Yes, at last. Take a look at this lot.
Oh, Lord. Witchcraft through the ages. The power of the occult. Odd bedside reading for the lady of the manor.
There are dozens of them. Mostly rubbish, but some of them are really rather nasty. You don't think...
I don't know. Now, come on. We'd better get out of here.
How about you? Did you find out anything?
What?
Your little tete-a-tete on the clifftop.
Oh, no, nothing. Nothing useful. She still won't tell me anything.
How odd. Well, are we going or staying? You slept with her, didn't you? Last night. Didn't you?
I did try to tell you.
What's telling me got to do with it? It's none of my business. Don't you think it's rather... taking advantage of widows and orphans.
Well, you don't think I wanted to.
Oh, no. I think she had to tie you to the bed and use thumbscrews.
Do you think I planned it? Hmm? Believe it or not, it started as an attempt to comfort her.
Oh, God, men are pathetic.
You're right. It's none of your business.
Well, it is, actually. Please don't pretend to be surprised.
I'm sorry.
Had a thing about you at university.
Maggie, the crazy thing is that... if none of this was happening and we were just meeting for the first time...
Oh, Matt, do shut up, please. Look, there's someone over there. You can ask him where Franklin's is.
I'll just get these out of the way before we begin.
Well, if that's next week's sermon, your congregation certainly gets its money's worth.
A small treatise on the existence or non-existence of an absolute morality. Ooh. Ah, these are the papers I need. Tell me, Mr. Beresford, as a writer, does the question of morality concern you at all?
Oh, of course. You can't explore people in any kind of depth without, to some degree, raising moral issues.
And making moral judgments?
Sometimes.
The word evil, for example, what sort of meaning does that have for you?
Well, the same kind of meaning as the word happiness. Now, happiness exists because some people are happy. If there were no happy people, there would be no such thing as happiness. But in the same way, evil only has a meaning because certain people do things that we would consider evil. I suppose what I mean is that, well, I can't look on good and evil as abstract forces using the universe for a kind of cosmic punch-up.
The trouble with evil today is that one half of the human race pretends it doesn't exist, while the other half invests it with a spurious glamour. When I first came into the church, my church was always full, and if the majority of the congregation was made up of middle-aged, middle-class women with money and time on their hands, well, what congregation in England is any different?
Mm.
This is not to say that I neglected the less fortunate members of my flock, not at all. One of them I particularly liked. A big, bone girl of 16, rather foolish, but extremely warm-hearted. Too warm-hearted, in fact, because shortly after my arrival, she was found to be with child by an unknown father. However, no great harm came of it. Within a year, she had married a likable young lad from a merchant ship who was perfectly happy to accept the child as his own. They settled down, and she took to producing a child a year. Then one night, very late, I received a phone call from the husband. He was sobbing and virtually incoherent. I hurried to the house in time to see the ambulance taking the girl to the hospital. He had beaten her, almost senseless.
Oh, no.
He was by now almost hysterical with grief and guilt, and I did what I could to comfort him. He showed me a letter. He had received the letter at sea. It accused his wife of consistent infidelity. It named names, times, and places.
Oh, no.
There was, as it happens, not a word of truth in it. The point is, I recognized the handwriting. The woman sang in my choir. She served on several church committees.
What did you do?
When I confronted her, she seemed not the least upset or ashamed. She said that God was using her to punish sin.
Or is that why you...
Shall we say that I find the uncomplicated vices of the undereducated rather more wholesome?
Mm.
The reason I tell you this story is to impress on you, as it was impressed on me, the utter banality of real evil. Which brings us to the question of the graves in the churchyard. You needn't really study these papers if you don't want to. They merely authenticate most of what I'm about to say. The woman in the first of the graves is Elizabeth Penrith, who in 1680 was burnt at the stake as a witch.
Burnt?
It was a tragically common occurrence at the time. Some of the poor wretches were, of course, totally innocent by any standards. Others had deluded themselves into believing that they really did possess some measure of supernatural power.
Yes.
There's no doubt that Elizabeth comes into this category. She seems to have spent most of her trial actually boasting about her abilities. It's all in the transcript. Furthermore, on the day of her death, she's supposed to have uttered a prophecy that once every 100 years she would bestow all her occult powers to a female member of the Penreaths, if only she has the courage to open the door. Precisely how the door is to be opened is not specified.
Well, then, what...
These are the parish records for the year 1780. Apparently, on May the 14th, exactly 100 years to the day after the death of Elizabeth, two sisters, Mary and Violet Penreath, went out in the bay in a small boat. The boat overturned, and Violet drowned. Mary, on the other hand, lived to a ripe old age.
Oh, my God. I see where this is leading.
Quite. Naturally, the coincidence was not missed. The story sprang up in the district that the price of Elizabeth's powers was the sacrifice of yet another female Penreath at the same age as herself at the time of her death.
But they were sisters.
100 years later, another girl of 25 died in a particularly unpleasant manner. She had been picnicking near one of the old quarries And nobody seems to know exactly how it happened. There was a landslide, and she was buried alive.
Oh, how horrible.
The only person who was with her, who actually saw the accident occur, was Anne Penrith, her maiden aunt.
Her aunt?
But you're not saying that... Well, you can't possibly believe
it. What? That a dead woman can hand on occult powers to her murderous descendants? Obviously, I believe nothing of the kind. What I am saying is that once, possibly twice, over the centuries, there have been women so foolish or desperate that have believed it, and wicked enough to act on that belief. I've only ever seen Susan Penrith once, close at hand. One evening, about 5 years ago, I came out of the church and found her staring down at those graves. She was standing so still, with such a look of fascinated horror, that for a moment I actually thought that one of them had come back from the dead to stare at her own grave. Maggie!
I'm sorry, but it's ridiculous. Are you saying that Aunt Ellen intends to knock off Sue so as to turn herself into a sort of female Aleister Crowley?
What about the books?
What books?
Books on witchcraft. Her rooms are stuffed with
them. Yes, but even so, that doesn't...
You may not believe it, Maggie, but Sue does. Now, why else would she write to you, begging you to come, saying she was frightened?
Well, then why didn't she say something? For that matter, why didn't she just walk out?
Because she can't. Yes, because that bloody woman has brainwashed her. Year after year, ever since she was a helpless little kid, dripping poison into her ear every day of her life. Until she's got a believing it's, well, I don't know, a duty, a destiny even.
Oh, history is full of sacrificial victims conditioned to believe that dying is a privilege.
Yes, then why send for us at all?
Because there's all the difference in the world between running away from your destiny and being dragged away from it, ostensibly against your will.
That's it, absolutely. Don't you see? It's the only thing that explains her behaviour since we got here. Help me, don't help me, just like a yo-yo. And because part of her knows it's crazy, but the other part feels she has to go through with it. She can't save herself, but she's desperate for us to do it for her.
Oh, this is getting crazier by the minute.
It doesn't really matter whether we believe or not. Mr. Franklin, whatever's going to happen is going to happen tomorrow, isn't that right?
That's what the prophecy seems to imply.
So, all we have to do is get her out of that house for 24 hours. After that, it doesn't matter who's right and who's wrong.
How are you going to do that? You can't drag her away by force.
Can't we? Why not?
Yes, I still think this is crazy, even if you are right.
Have you got any better ideas?
Yes, ring the bell, face it out with Aunt Ellen and demand her.
For God's sake, Maggie! She's completely under that woman's thumb! Damn, it's locked.
Good.
Let's try further back.
Match. We don't even know that they're asleep.
The house is pitch black.
Yes, but what will you do if you do get in?
Find Sue and try to convince her to come away with us.
And if she won't?
And I'll worry about that when... Ah. Now, let's see.
Oh, Matt, this is against the law, you know.
For God's sake, Matty. Do you think I'm enjoying this? Go back to Franklin if you're so bloody bothered. I'm sorry.
No, all right. Hurry, will you? I don't fancy lurking about out here for half the night.
I'll be as quick as I can.
Besides, I think it's going to rain.
Sue?
Aunt Ellen? Is that you?
Sue? It's me.
Matt! I thought you'd gone.
Only as far as the village.
Well, where's Maggie?
Outside. Now listen, Sue. I want you to do exactly as I say. Get dressed, as quietly and as quickly as you can, and come with me.
Why, Matt?
Don't argue, please. Just do as I say.
You have to tell me why.
Sue, listen. I know. I know about Elizabeth. I know about the prophecy. I know what's going to happen tomorrow.
How do you know?
Never mind how. I just know. Now get dressed.
I can't.
I can't, Matt.
For God's sake, Sue, do you want to die?
It isn't dying, Matt. Not really. The body dies, but the spirit lives on through Elizabeth. Through her power.
What does that fit?
We become one. She and I and Elizabeth. The one that lives forever.
So listen to me.
The power, Matt. The power. Oh, Matt, you can't begin to imagine.
Now get dressed. Sue, get dressed or I'll bloody well dress you myself.
You want to dress me, Matt? You'll have to undress me first.
Suit yourself.
No.
I see. Fortunately, the police will be here at any moment.
What?
I called them when I heard the window opening, though I must say I was expecting to hand them a sneak thief, not a rapist.
A rapist?
How else do you explain what I just saw?
I was trying to get her dressed. To get her out of this house and away from you. I still intend to do just that.
I have never fired a revolver, Mr. Beresford, but I have no moral objection to doing so. Please stand quite still. Susan, cover yourself.
Yes,
Aunt. You sick bitch.
I am not a vindictive person, Mr. Beresford. If you will leave this house now, drive away and never return, I shall not prevent you.
Oh, yes. And what about the police?
I will handle the police.
I'm sure you will.
Mr. Beresford, what is happening in this house is not only none of your business, it's utterly beyond your comprehension.
You're out of your mind. You know that, don't you? You're completely round the twist.
That will be the police. I shall be more than happy to allow them to compare my mental state with yours.
Say you opened the door, Mrs. Penreath, and found this young man in the act of assaulting your niece.
As far as I could tell, Sergeant Harris, he was trying to rip her nightdress from her body.
Is that correct, miss?
Well, yes.
Oh, this is bloody ridiculous. I was simply trying to make her get dressed.
Get dressed, sir?
I wanted to get her out of the house, away from that woman.
And why would you want to do that, sir? I said, why would you want to do that, sir?
Because she's going to kill her.
Does that satisfy you, Sergeant?
I think we can spare the ladies any further unpleasantness, sir. If you'll come with me.
Christ, didn't you hear what I said?
Why should Mrs. Penreath wish to murder her niece?
Yes, Mr. Beresford, why should I wish to do that?
Well, this is crazy. Look, if I'd been planning rape, would I have brought Maggie with me?
Margaret?
She's in the garden.
Was there anyone in the grounds when you arrived, Sergeant?
Not as far as I could tell, madam.
So, for God's sake, tell him.
Haven't you done enough to upset her already tonight? My niece is not well, Sergeant. Her nerves are in a dreadful state.
Well, perhaps if the young lady could oblige with just a very short statement, it would clear the matter up.
Very well.
Sue.
Yes. Matt and I were friends at university. I broke off our relationship. I thought he'd forgotten all about me, but yesterday he came to the house with my cousin Maggie. He wanted me to go away with him.
Yes, but tell him why.
But I wouldn't go, you see. I thought he'd accepted that, given up, but tonight he came to my room and pleaded with me to go with him. But I still said no. He became very angry. He said if he couldn't have me for good, at least he'd take something to remember me by. He tore my nightdress.
You evil, poisonous bitch.
Now, that won't help you, sir.
Don't you see? She's making her say it. She's brainwashed her, you fool!
You're the fool, Mr. Beresford.
That's 50p you owe me.
You what?
I told you it'd rain before midnight.
Oh, yeah.
You kids may be able to strip down a car with a bent hairpin. You know sod all about reading the weather.
Franklin, take me to see Franklin.
If I were you, I'd keep quiet.
Franklin, for God's sake, you must know him. He's the vicar here.
I know Mr. Franklin.
A bit late to go knocking up the vicar. It's gone half ten.
Half ten? It'll be midnight in just over an hour.
What happens at midnight? We all turn in the pump.
Just take me to him, please.
Sue? Maggie? Oh, Maggie, I'm so glad to see you.
What on earth's going on? I saw the police come and take Matt away. I didn't know what to do.
It was awful. She made me tell the most dreadful lies about him.
What lies?
She made me say that he tried to... Well, that he tried to rape me. Well, don't look at me like that, Maggie. I had to do it.
Come on. We're getting out of here.
What?
I've got the car at the end of the drive. We'll go straight to Franklin's and call the police from there and explain everything to them.
But couldn't we...
Well, couldn't we just wait till morning?
What?
Well, it'll be all right. She can't do anything to us. I've got this.
Sue, where did you get that?
It's Aunt Ellen's. She hid it because she didn't want the police to see it, you see. She doesn't know I've got it.
I think you'd better give it to me.
I'll put it here on the table.
Sue, honestly, it'll be much better if we go now.
Please, Maggie. Can't we just wait till morning? I'm so afraid she'll be waiting for us down there in the dark.
What about...
Oh, he'll be all right. They won't do anything to him. Please, Maggie.
All right. I'd better lock the door.
It's a bit hard to believe, you must admit, sir.
It may still be the most appalling nonsense, Sergeant. And I'm very sorry that you've been dragged into it. Nevertheless, Mr. Beresford's motives were exactly as he described them. Even if he could have behaved with a little more finesse.
Oh, thank you.
Well, what exactly do you think I should do, sir?
Well, since you are involved, the perfect thing would be for you to drive back to the house, feed the woman some story about needing Susan at the station to give you a written statement, and somehow contrive to keep her there for 24 hours.
Oh, it's more than my life's worth without some sort of proof, sir.
I'm afraid only two sorts of proof are possible here, Sergeant. Proof that we're wrong, because nothing at all will happen tomorrow, or proof that we're right, in the shape of Miss Penreath's corpse.
Where's Maggie?
Isn't she in the car?
No, I haven't seen her since I went into the house. I assumed she'd made her way back here.
Well, perhaps the young lady went into the house after we left, sir, to be with her cousin.
What do you mean? Her cousin?
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I thought you said...
Oh, yes, yes, that's right. They're cousins.
Beresford. You never told me this.
Is it important?
Susan?
It's Aunt Ellen.
She's coming.
Keep calm. She can't do anything. The door's locked.
Oh, Maggie. Susan! Susan, why have you locked the door? Susan!
I'm tired, Aunt Ellen. I want to go to sleep.
Don't be ridiculous. Open the door. Susan, do as I say. Open this door.
Go away, Aunt Ellen.
Susan, nobody's going to hurt you.
I don't believe you.
Susan!
Maybe we should open
No.
it. What can she do? There are two of us and we've got a gun.
Susan, who are you talking to?
No one. Oh, go away.
Who's in there with you? Margaret, is that you?
Don't answer.
Yes, Aunt Ellen, I'm here.
Margaret, listen to me. You must open the door.
Why should I?
Don't argue with me, please. Just do as I say. Oh, Margaret.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
Maggie? No, Maggie, don't. Margaret, I must talk to you. No. Wait!
Think, man, think.
I don't know. Umpteen times removed, that's all I ever heard her say.
But originally... Related by marriage or by blood?
I don't know.
Why is this so important, sir?
Because from the very start, the most grotesque aspect of this terrible business has been that Ellen is only a Penreath by marriage. And so could not reasonably expect to be granted Elizabeth's powers. But if this girl and Susan have a common ancestor, if she has Penreath blood in her veins, and if...
Yes, she was 25 last November.
Can't you go faster, man?
I do my best, sir. I can hardly see a thing with this rain.
That's why she sent the letter.
Of course. So that she'll be here on the right day.
But my dream, the terrible thing that she was afraid of.
I think she is genuinely afraid. But not of what's going to be done to her. Afraid of what she's going to do.
Maggie! Maggie! Where did the girl from? Along here. It's the end of the corridor.
Maggie! Oh, my God!
Sergeant, come here, quickly.
She's not dead, is she?
I don't know.
Here.
Let me look.
Well, where are the others? Where the hell are the others?
Sue, please.
It's all right, Maggie. It won't hurt, I promise you. I've worked out a way so that it won't hurt.
Sue, I'm not coming any further. If you're going to kill me, you'll have to do it now.
Oh, no. We're not before time. If you won't come, Maggie, I'll have to shoot you in the leg and drag you.
Sue, you're sick. You need help.
Yes, I do. I've always needed help. I can't manage life somehow. Well, not like you, Maggie. So clever and capable, but soon I'll have all the help I need.
Sue.
You see, it would have been all right if Matt had loved me. He loved me properly, but he doesn't. He loves you.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't love anybody.
You know what the best thing is, Maggie? Well, this way we can both have him. All have him. You, me, and Elizabeth. Oh, come on, Maggie.
The ambulance is coming. How is she?
Still unconscious. Is there any sign of the girls?
No, nothing. The Harris has sent for more men. He and the driver are searching the house. Well, if there's nothing I can do here, I'll go and help.
It's big house.
Mrs. Penreath.
She shouldn't talk.
She has to talk. Mrs. Penreath.
I told you. You were the fool.
I know.
Did you really think I'd hurt her? I've spent my whole life protecting her.
I'm sorry.
She's strange. Even as a child. First I kept her here where I could look after her. Then I thought, no, she must go out into the world, meet people perhaps. That was a disaster, as you know.
Yes.
When she came back, she was worse. I'd find her in the corridor, staring at Elizabeth's portrait, hour after hour. Her lips would be moving.
Mrs. Penry.
Even then, I didn't suspect. Until I found the books.
They were her books?
Of course. I took them away. Confiscated them, I thought. When you came, you brought Margaret. Did everything I could to make you go away.
You should have told us.
Why? So that she could be locked away somewhere forever. I thought if I could just get her past the day, that you wouldn't go.
Mrs. Penreath.
Wouldn't go. Kept coming back. And back.
Mrs. Penreath. You must tell us. Have you any idea where Sue might have taken her? Mrs. Penreath.
No good. She's unconscious.
Oh, God. What's the time now?
It's 11:45.
Good. Not long now. You can sit down if you like.
Please, Sue.
Do you remember us coming up here when we were children, Maggie? How I used to tell you all my secrets and you wouldn't listen. I knew even then, you know. I knew this would happen one day. I never thought I'd see you cry, Maggie. I told you there's nothing to cry about.
It's you I'm crying for.
There's no sign of them anywhere in the house. I've got men searching, but the grounds are so big and it's a filthy night.
It's no good running round in circles. We have to think.
Can't see how thinking is going to help us.
There must be some sort of ritual attached to it. Something that would give us some idea of where she might go. How did the other girls die?
One was drowned, the other suffocated. And they were miles apart.
Well, that doesn't tell us very much, does it? To my mind, the only thing we
can
do...
Wait a minute. One was drowned, the other was buried under tons of earth. And Elizabeth was burnt at the stake, wasn't she?
Well?
The four elements. They're important in witchcraft, aren't they? I mean, in all sorts of primitive rituals. Fire, water,
earth, and air.
Exactly.
I don't see how you can kill someone in the air.
Do you think that's what happens, Matt? That your heart just stops? You die in midair. Die in midair. Die.
Come on,
where?
The cliff top.
It's time.
Get up.
Susan. I can do it with a gun, you know. I'm only doing it this way to make it special for her.
Oh, for Elizabeth.
But it doesn't matter. I mean, the gun will make her just as dead. Oh, get up, Maggie. Now, walk to the edge. Walk. Now. Jump. Jump!
Look,
it won't hurt, I promise you. You won't feel a thing. Jump!
No.
Do you want me to help you? I'll help you, shall I? Shall I?
Sue! Sue, don't!
I'll keep away, Matt. Stay back, I mean it.
Sue, don't do this, please.
You should have loved me, Matt. Turn away if you can't bear to watch. Go on, turn away. It could be over in a minute.
Sue!
And then you'll love me. Properly.
the way you should always have done.
Oh, Jesus,
Sue! You have to love me, Matt. Somebody has to love me.
Maggie, listen. Just walk. Just start walking towards
me. Oh, my God!
Just walk towards me,
no!
Sue! Let her go of me!
No!
Let go of me!
You won't go to him!
No, let go of me!
You won't go to him, you'll go to her!
Oh, God, Maggie!
What's that noise?
Ambulance.
Ambulance? It's going to the house.
For Mrs. Penry.
Oh, yes. Later, it'll come here. Why don't you go back to the car?
Oh, God. All those years. All that pain. And now this. Like a toy. Like a doll thrown away by a spoilt child.
She must have died instantly. The second she hit the rock.
Oh, even sooner, don't you think? But don't they say that sometimes the heart stops even before they hit the ground?
That's very probable. Where's Maggie? In the car. Now, the sergeant is looking after her. Why don't you go to her? I'll stay with Susan until somebody comes. There's nothing you can do for her. There never was.
I just feel that I shouldn't leave her.
Insofar as the dead are anyone's concern, they're mine. Go to the car.
Excuse me, sir.
Yes?
I brought a blanket, sir.
Thank you.
Oh, and Mr. Beresford, Sergeant says, could you come and talk to the young lady, sir? She's in a very bad way. We can't seem to get through to her at all.
Yes. Yes, of course. Sergeant?
Over here, sir.
How is she?
Oh, she's taking it very badly, sir. She blames herself. I keep telling her that's nonsense. We all saw it was an accident. It doesn't do any good. Perhaps she'll listen to you.
Yes, all right. I'll try.
Oh, try and give her some of this, sir. It's brandy. Maybe you better have some yourself.
Yes. Thank you.
Maggie? Maggie, love.
I killed her, Matt.
Don't be silly. Even if you'd pushed her, you'd have only been defending yourself. We all saw what happened. You were struggling and she went over by accident. It could just as easily have been you.
I killed her.
Maggie.
The right name, the right age, the right day. Just the wrong victim.
Maggie, stop it. Drink some of this.
Oh.
That's better. Now, look, Maggie. If this is anyone's fault, it's mine. Or maybe Aunt Ellen's. I don't know. You do things, say things, little... You never know where anything's going to lead. And Sue was always... Maggie, as soon as we can, we'll get away from here. Back to London, and maybe we can... Maggie?
Power, Matt. The power.
What?
Oh, God, Matt.
Maggie.
Matt. You can't imagine.
The power. You can't begin to imagine.